In your Bibles tonight, Matthew chapter number 15, I want to share a testimony with you before we start the message from last night's Upward game. And we're excited that the devotion was given, and Dylan extended an invitation. He said, asked anybody that would like to talk to him about trusting Jesus as their Savior, receiving Christ, he would be glad to meet them. And so after one of the devotion times, he stood at the flagpole right where he said he would, and an adult lady came to him and said, "I've known the gospel my entire life. I've been knowing about and hearing about Jesus since I was just a child, but," she says, I've never asked Jesus to come into my heart and be my Savior. I'm not saved." She said, "I don't want to go another day without knowing Jesus as my Savior." She got saved last night, and we're thankful for that. And we've been saying and praying that God would use our Upward. It's not about football. It's about the gospel. And we're using football as a means and opportunity to reach children and families. And we're rejoicing in that. We praise God for answering our prayers and for the work He's done in this dear lady's heart. If you'd take your Bibles and go with me tonight to Matthew chapter number 15. Matthew chapter number 15. And be looking here this evening. Matthew chapter number 15. Tonight's message title, you'll see it as we read it, is "How many loaves have ye?" How many loaves have ye? How many loaves do you have? And if you don't understand the title in the beginning or even close to the middle of the message, I promise you, you will before it's over. But we want to emphasize this. How many loaves have ye? How many loaves do you have? And let's read together Matthew chapter 15. We'll begin reading in verse number 29. And the Bible says, "And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee, and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. And he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, Whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness, as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? And they said, 7 and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. And they that did eat were 4,000 men, beside women and children. And he sent away the multitude and took ship and came into the coast of Magdala. And I want you to pay attention, if you would, in verse numbers 32 and 33. The Bible says, "Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude." I'm just in love with the phrase and the thought that Jesus has compassion. You know, compassion is a beautiful thing, and compassion is something that makes a difference in the lives of other people, and we should be compassionate people. Do you know that a spirit of criticism and a spirit of compassion cannot indwell the same spirit? And they don't work together. And these people, it could have been that you looked at this group of people who'd followed Jesus into the wilderness and then they'd stayed for 3 days. You could look at this group and say, how foolish could you be to take your family into the wilderness without anything to eat and stay 3 days? If you had any sense, you'd have left a day and a half ago when you still had food left. That's not what Jesus did. And I'm so thankful that Jesus is compassionate on self-inflicted wounds. Aren't you thankful for that? Even when we make our most horrid mistakes, Jesus is compassionate. He looks on these people and he has compassion. And compassion, the Bible teaches us of compassion, the definition of compassion is that there's actually a yearning inside, a yearning in our bowels because we hurt for somebody else. And Jesus is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He cares about us. He's moved with compassion. The Bible says in verse 32, he was moved with compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days. And he's speaking to his disciples. He says, and they have nothing to eat. And then he says, I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. And his disciples say unto him, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? He said, where can we get this kind of food? And Jesus saith unto them, verse 34, how many loaves have ye? Does Jesus ever ask questions because he does not know the answer? No. If he asks a question, he knows the answer. He uses questions to teach. And so the problem is posed. The disciples say, where in the world are we going to find all this food to feed all these people? And Jesus looks at the disciples and he says, how many loaves you have? And I can just see it. Peter and the disciples. Peter's always in charge, you know. So he's like, hey, guys, how many loaves you got? Count them up. They come up with 7. He says, well, Lord, we got 7 and a few small fishes. He's real optimistic, isn't he? And Jesus commands to the multitude, sit down on the ground. He took the 7 loaves and fishes, gave thanks, break them. The multitude ate until they were full. But Jesus starts this whole scene with this question. How many loaves have ye? How many loaves have ye? I think that that's an important question for us to remember tonight. How many loaves do you have? And let's just begin here by looking at the setting as we study this passage of Scripture. How many loaves have ye? The setting, recent history. I don't even think about what's going on in the lives of the disciples. I'm telling you, they've had a couple weeks of pure excitement. Things are happening in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. It began just a couple weeks ago. Jesus fed 5,000 people, that's just the men, not including wives, women, and children, with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. It's just a few hours later that Jesus comes walking on the water and settles the sea just after Peter steps out in faith and walks on the water too. They leave the storm and they end up in a place called Gennesaret. It's a little tiny thing in the Scripture that we kind of pass over, but this happened. Jesus and the disciples go to Gennesaret, the town of Gennesaret. I have no idea how many people there are, but it's enough that the Bible calls it a town. And so we've got a number of people. And the Bible says that Jesus goes to Gennesaret, and they're so excited that they've come to this faith that they believe that if they can just touch his garment, they'll be healed. And the Bible says every person in Gennesaret that touched Jesus was perfectly made whole. Made perfectly whole. Now, who's watching all this? Jesus is not surprised by his own power because he's God, the God-man. God in the flesh. But who's watching all this? The disciples. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being one of the disciples that handed Jesus just a couple weeks ago 1 of 5 loaves that he blessed and broke and fed a multitude? Can you imagine being one of the disciples that carried 1 of the 12 baskets full? Can you imagine watching some person that is maimed? I mean, completely disfigured. And they come up to Jesus and touch him, and they're straightened up, made whole. Perfectly whole, the Bible says. Just a few hours ago, the Syrophoenician woman had declared her great faith in the Lord, and God, our Savior Jesus Christ, had commanded that her daughter be healed. I mean, there's a lot going on. That's recent history, but immediate history. The Bible says in our text tonight, verse 29, Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. Jesus has gone to the mountain and sat down. The Bible says in verse 30, and great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, they can't speak, maimed, and many others. If you imagine an ailment is probably represented here, because there was many other ailments represented. The Bible says they were bringing these folks and cast them down at Jesus' feet. I don't know if you should have fun when you're studying the Bible, but here's I've got the greatest mental picture of somebody bringing this maimed guy to Jesus, and the Bible says cast him down at Jesus. Do you think he put him above his head like a WWF guy and souffle? I don't know, but cast him down. So they cast this guy down at Jesus' feet, and they brought these people to Christ. And the Bible says that on this mountain, in this multitude, that they cast him at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Verse 31, he healed them in so much that the multitude wondered. I mean, they were in astonishment. They were amazed. They wondered, wow, this is wonderful. When they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. What was the natural reaction to this in this multitude to Jesus doing all of this mighty work? The multitude were, wow, and they praised the God of Israel. See, they made the proper connection. They made the proper connection. God the Father, that they were familiar with, Jehovah God, the God of Israel. And they connected him with God the Son, co-equal, co-existent, eternally existent with God the Father. They made that connection. And they watched the works of God the Son, and they praised God the Father, the God of Israel. And they said, hallelujah, Jehovah God is real. And they were worshiping God. It's like a revival there. No wonder they stayed 3 days and forgot they were hungry. They were worshiping God. The Bible says in verse 32, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. Now, Jesus has compassion. The compassion of Christ is something that should give us courage to face any burden. Yet, the multitude is praising God, and here in just a second, a little problem comes along the way, and the disciples somehow just completely lose all confidence and remembrance of all that God has done in the recent past. You see, we begin number one tonight with this point, burdens of living. The burdens of living. How many of you ever noticed that a lot of living has a lot of burdens? I mean, you want everything to go just right every time, but how many of you found out it doesn't? How many of you found out that problem solving has to become a vital part of your life, in your home, at work, at church? Problem solving is something we deal with, and burdens are something that we bear. Burdens are real. The burdens of living. And you know what happens sometimes? We allow the burdens of living, like we need some food, we need some money, we need some provision. We allow the burdens of living to cause us to have a severe case of amnesia about the recent history and about the blessings of God, even in our recent past. Jesus says, I have compassion on the multitudes. And the multitudes need something to eat. And disciples, we're not sending them away fasting. Because if we send them away fasting, some of them are going to faint in the way. And so the first thing that happens, the disciples are like, we're in the wilderness. Where are we going to get food? We're in the wilderness. They look out across the multitude, and Peter says, man, there must be 4,000 of them out there. And that's just the men. Where are we going to get that kind of food? Where are we going to get that kind of provision? Man, this is a problem. The burdens of living, as we look through the text, I like to stay with the text, is They had a great need with little supply. Look what the Bible says in verse 32. It says, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. There's a multitude and they're hungry. Do you have any idea how much it would take to feed 4,000 people? I've got a figure for you. A whole bunch. I mean a bunch. Where are they like, man, we've got a big need. And little provision. And they look at Jesus and say, you've already told us that we don't have any food. You said they don't have food. And you want us to, how are we going to feed them? We got a big need and little provision. How many of you have come to a trouble or a problem in life and you've come up to it and you got a big expense and a little amount? You have a big workload and a little strength. You got a big problem in your family and it just seems like little wisdom. I want you to be encouraged by something. The burdens of life should not throw us away from trusting in the Lord. They should throw us into trusting the Lord and believing God. What did the disciples do? They're like, ah, we got a multitude and no food. And Jesus expects us to feed them. What'd they do? They stepped away from faith because the burden of life got real. Folks, when you get into a situation where the need is great, the provisions are small according to your ability. Don't step away from faith. Don't let the burdens of life get you down that way. You see, they had a great need and little supply. They were stuck in the wilderness. They were stuck. If you're in the wilderness at this time, there's no helicopters to drop in food. You're stuck in the wilderness this time. The wilderness, it was described as a wilderness because there was no real places to go and rummage or find natural resources for food. And Jesus made it plain. If these people leave this situation, they're going to faint. Look, the multitude was between a rock and a hard place. Short of a miracle, folks are going to faint. They had a problem. And the burden of life, what'd it do? It kicked the disciples out of faith and into the flesh. The burdens of life continue here. The disciples, they were doubting, forgetful, materialistic. They found Jesus sufficient for some things, but not for all things. You see, sure, they had found Jesus sufficient back a few weeks ago to feed a multitude. And sure, they had found Jesus sufficient a few weeks ago to heal a lame man or a blind man or a deaf man. Sure, they had found Jesus sufficient a couple days ago to heal the Syrophoenician's daughter. And certainly they'd found Jesus sufficient enough to walk on the water and calm the sea and calm the storm. And yes, they had watched Jesus as those people touched his garment and they were made straight and whole. And he was sufficient for that. And they'd found that Jesus was sufficient in that multitude of people to heal their blindness, to heal their dumbness, to change their lives. But for some reason, in their flesh, they had not found Jesus sufficient to feed this multitude. Isn't that how we do it? Isn't that how it goes? I say, can Jesus save your soul and keep you from going to hell forever? And we all say, amen. Can Jesus provide a big supply for your big need that's coming up next week? We wring our hands and fret and worry, and we allow doubt to kick us out of faith. And we forget that God was sufficient back then and yesterday and last week and last year and last month. But we stand over here and the burdens of life come crashing down. We're wringing our hands. God's not sufficient. Now look, it's true of men. You need somebody to saw up a tree, call me. I'll come help you. A dear lady called last night. She found out that I can break into cars if you have the keys locked in them. And if your car keys get locked in your car and you need somebody to come and help you, call me. If this preaching thing don't work out, I'm going to go into stealing cars. I know I can do that. But if you need somebody to do brain surgery, don't call me. I ain't sufficient. If you want me to groom your dog, don't call me. I'm not sufficient. Ask Ruth. I got pictures to prove. I tried. It didn't work. But here's the deal. Jesus is sufficient for your every burden, for your every care. Now, the disciples come with the burdens of life, and they've moved out of faith, and they're wringing their hands saying, how in the world are we going to feed this multitude? And if we don't feed this multitude, they're going to faint. Some of them may die and starve to death in the wilderness. What are we going to do? Jesus never asks questions because he needs answers. Jesus asks questions because he wants to teach us something. And about the time Jesus understands the situation, he understands it perfectly the whole way. But when this all comes to a head, Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, how many loaves have ye? How many loaves have ye? Well, the first reaction, no doubt, is count and tell me how many loaves we got. Somebody calls over and said, we count them all. We've checked everybody's pockets. We got seven. Peter reports to Jesus. He said, we got seven and some little fishes is all we got. I don't know how we're going to do this. And Jesus looks at Peter and looks at the disciples and says, how many loaves do you have? How many loaves do you have? Seven and some small fishes. And I can watch Peter's face change. Now, I'm embellishing this, but I know this is how it happened. And I know there was a heart change here because Jesus is teaching this lesson. It's repeated in the other Gospels. Jesus asks, how many loaves you got? Peter's given the answer, and then he's beginning to think, how many loaves do we have? Seven and some fishes. Seven and a few small fishes. Seven and a few. He looks at the multitude. He's like, there's probably 1,000 less people here than there was just a couple weeks ago. And a couple weeks ago, we fed 5,000 with five loaves and two fishes. How many loaves we have, Lord? Hey, I'll tell you what we got. We got seven loaves and some little fishes. And faith began to work. Faith began to stir in their hearts. And whether he got it right then or he got it when it's all said and done is irrelevant. But it should stir in our hearts this simple truth. We have seen God do more with less. He started looking at the seven loaves and a few small fishes, and he thought, there's 4,000 people here. We got plenty. We got 4,000 people in Jesus. We got more than enough. Folks, I want you to know something. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're dealing with, you can be sure of this. It's not too big for Jesus. And Jesus has done more with less. How many loaves do you have? Here's how it goes and continues. I love it. We move from the burdens of living to believing in Jesus. How many loaves have ye? Seven, a few fishes. Hey, we've seen God do more with less. We should remember past blessing. How many of you have ever seen God answer a prayer? Isn't it wonderful? Hey, the same God that brought you through that will bring you through this. God's faithful. He proves himself faithful over and over and over again. And we are so tempted to step out of faith and forget all the blessings of God. In recent past and long past, we forget the blessings of God. What do we need to do? We need to thank God. He said, how many loaves you have? Remember past blessing. Verse 35, the Bible says, he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. When you're hungry, And when you need something, and when you need some relief, and you need some action, does sit down sound like a good idea to you? Stinks, doesn't it? Sit down. Man, I don't like it. I remember a little boy, he got in trouble, and his mama said, "You sit down right there." And he sat down, and he had this evil look on his face. And she said, "I told you sit down, and I'm glad you did." He looked at her, and he said, "I'm sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." Ain't that how we do it? God says, "Hey, sit down and wait. Just wait a minute. Wait." And waiting's no fun. But every time we see Christian people and God's word waiting, it's always positive. He says, sit down. You know the 23rd Psalm, the Good Shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know, there's a lot of Bible commentators who believe that he maketh me lie down in green pastures. Looks like a broken leg inflicted by the shepherd to prevent a wandering sheep from going outside of the protection of the Lord. However, he makes you sit down. He makes you sit down in green pastures because he needs you to eat a little bit and get a little strength and get a little nourishment. And waiting on the Lord always produces a positive outcome. Jesus tells the multitude, sit down. I don't like it, do you? But we should wait on the Lord. He says, sit down. And the Bible says, on the ground, verse 36, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks and brake them and gave them to his disciples. First of all, what supply was available was given to Jesus. You get to a place where the need is great, supply is small. What supply you have, give it to the Lord. Let the Lord take it. What's that look like? That means you do with it what you know the Lord would want you to do with it. You don't hoard it up. You don't withhold your tithe. You don't do something selfish or foolish or sinful with what you have. You take what you have and you give it to Jesus. How many times have we seen people in times of despair take what they have that God intends to bless and use and squander it on something foolish or wicked or sinful? You take what you have and you give it to Jesus. You also take what you have and bless it. Jesus took 7 loaves and a few little fishes and thanked God for it. I'll tell you what we're bad to do as Christian people. We step out of faith because the burdens of life. We step out of faith and what we do have we forget about, and what we don't have we whine about. And God says, take what you have and be thankful. Thank God for what you have. I've found this out. When I am burdened about a need, if I'll stop focusing on the need and thanking God for the blessing I already have, the burden of the need goes away and the need is always met. What did they do? They said, here it is, Lord. The Lord thanked God for what they had. He broke it. He fed that multitude. Believing in Jesus produces satisfaction. Verse 37, the Bible says, and they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. They did all eat. Just a few minutes ago, Peter and the disciples said, where in the world can we get enough food to fill up this many people? How can we satisfy the hunger needs of this many people? And the truth of the matter is, the efforts of men can never satisfy people. And the products of this earth cannot satisfy you to the full and the filling. But God can every time. He'll fill you right up. He'll make you satisfied. I want you to know something about serving the Lord. You will be satisfied in Jesus even if you have a physical need. I've met people with nothing of material value, but they had a fortune's worth of joy. And I'll just tell you something. There's a lot more. I put a lot more stock in joy and satisfaction than material. We should. We all should. I got help. I have to keep reminding myself. Because I'm a man of the flesh. What did the gift of God do? It satisfied everybody. It satisfied everybody. They were all full. You see, that's what Jesus does. That's what believing Jesus produces. So here's the point and the message and the conclusion all tied up together. We're facing life, the burdens of life. The burdens of life are tempt us to step out of faith. And at that moment, when you've stepped out of faith, Jesus asks a simple question. How many loaves do you have? How many loaves do you have? What do you have? Well, Lord, I got health. I was able to get to church tonight. I got strength. How many loaves do you have? Well, Lord, I got more than I had one other time years ago when I was in a great need and you've proved yourself faithful. And I'm remembering, Lord, how many loaves you have? And before you know it, that crowd of 4,000 is like, it's just 4,000. Man, we've seen God do more with less. And I think we'll just rest in God. I want to ask you the question. How many loaves do you have? How many loaves do you have? Have you seen God meet your need in the past? Then you can be certain that the same God will meet your need in the present and future. You can rest in Him. Keep your eyes on Christ. Do the right thing. Do not allow sin to creep in. Stand for truth. Stand for righteousness. Rest in the Lord. And what God has put into your care, your loaves and fishes, few or great, thank Him for it. Rest in Him. How many loaves do you have? I'll tell you what, I've got more than enough because Jesus is all sufficient and I am resting in His promises for the future, resting in His provision in the past, and I'm going to take what He's given me and I'm going to thank Him for it. Amen. And I'm going to sit and wait until He meets the need exactly the way He wants to meet it, and it's going to be sweet. How many loaves do you have?